Hey y'all, welcome back to Chats from the Blog Cabin. Today we are continuing the parenting series, and this time we're talking about step parenting. We're talking about alienation of parents when parents don't want to parent, or they don't know how to parent. And we're also talking about how the kid gets caught in the middle between divorced parents, especially if it's a very contentious divorce. And so Lisa is joining me today, and this conversation is so good and it's so in-depth that you will not believe some of the things that her stepmom actually did to her through the course of our interview. She doesn't bring up the details, but if you go and read her book, I'm telling you guys, you will have to, you'll hear me say a couple of times in the interview that I had to go back and re-listen to the book because it was like, oh my gosh, mind-blowing. Some of the things that her stepmom tried to get other people to believe. So with that said, I hope you really enjoy this episode. Next week, we are actually going to menopause. We adopted kids. We have been pregnant. We have now we're a step parent. Next week is about menopause. And the following week, we're coming back with some safety tips for when you travel, because I know holiday season is coming up. A lot of people are traveling. A lot of people, summer's coming up, travel and how you can be safe. I know I personally have a lot of trips coming up in the future. So that Joy and Laura will be back with us. So we'll have Lisa this week. Next week we have, I forget what her name is now. I'm drawing a blank, but she talks about menopause. And then the next week is Laura and Joy. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. Bye.
Chats from the Blog Cabin.
This is your favorite time of the week with your number one podcast.
Come join Melissa and her guests on the Chats from the Blog Cabin podcast. From North Carolina, this podcast will have you feeling like you've known these folks for years. Listen in as they chat about life, culture, current events, and more, all with a special Southern flair. Curl up with your favorite beverage and get ready to be entertained. Tune in now for a unique experience that's fun and insightful.
Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of Chats from the Blog Cabin, the show where I virtually invite people into the Blog Cabin to chat about life. And today we are chatting about a very serious topic, but it's a topic I don't think it's chatted about a lot, and that is child abuse, but it's a different type of child abuse. It's alienation, which is really prevalent in our society, but it's not talked about. And Lisa is joining me today. She's a trauma expert. And Lisa, I think we have lost you. So we are chatting with Lisa, who is an expert on alienation, which is another form of child abuse. So Lisa, before we start talking about that, please tell us a little about yourself.
Thank you for having me. I'm Lisa, and I am the author of Alienated When Parents Won't Parent. And I wrote this book to help as many people and families who have grown up like me and to just spread awareness.
You said grown up like me. Tell us a little bit about your story.
So I was alienated, which basically means, for your audience, pretty much brainwashed to believe that I had really bad parents, especially my mom. I was brainwashed against my own mother by my stepmom. And it took 40 years for me to untangle this, I call it a mine F, to untangle this mine F and to put it all together to realize, my God, this is what happened to me. Because at such a young age, I just thought my parents had a really bad divorce, and that wasn't the case at all. And so that's why I'm here, to explain everything for your audience and parents listening on what not to do to avoid this type of preventable plague that's hurting everyone.
So what were some of the signs that your stepmom did that showed that you were like brainwashed?
Well, what she did was she wrote a script of her own that from the time I was born in my mom's womb, she like reinvented my whole history. Out of people go, why would she do that? Because some people are very, most, a lot of alienators, like my stepmom, or abusers, whatever you want to call them, are very jealous and manipulative. And their whole identity is to make themselves feel good and everybody else feel bad. And what she was constantly reinforcing was that I had a bad mom, that my mom didn't love me, that my mom didn't want me. And when you're a little kid, I was seven, and you don't see your parent, because at the time my parents were divorced, and alienation is very common when, especially in high conflict divorce. And why wouldn't I believe it? I believed it because, one, I wasn't seeing my mom. And what my stepmom, or what alienators do, is they take little bits of the truth and they twist it. And the little kid doesn't have that life experience. My stepmom was very covert. And that's a really uncomfortable place for a child to grow up in. It's like, this is an adult. On the outside, they seem nice, but every once in a while, they seem like bullies, but I don't know how to explain it. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's like for a little kid. So she would do things like that.
So you said it took you almost 40 years to kind of unravel the... When did you start realizing that it was a form of abuse and it was a mind F, as you said?
I think I always knew all the way into my teens. I would say things like, when people ask about your parents, it was like, oh, my parents got divorced and I have a stepmonster. And that was it. I didn't want to talk about it. I was in pure survival mode. And part of survival mode is to deny. Like, that's one of our first patterns. Mm-hmm. And so, because my parents weren't, you know, the way that I lived it, I didn't feel like my parents understood, or they knew. I didn't even know. I just believed it. And I felt like only my dad really cares about me, and I got to protect him. I felt like I had this need to protect my dad, which is very common for kids through divorce. They usually, they'll say they picked the stronger parent. No, we picked the weaker parent in this case. And my dad, it's not that my dad was weak. He was unaware. There were times when he would say, hey, that's your mom. Go see her. And I would be like, no, I don't want to see her. She's bad. But I couldn't explain. I could only react. So you grow up like that and you want to get away. And the first thing I did was I got the hell away. But I was always coming back. There's something that always kept me coming back to family. And the good thing was I wasn't alienated from my grandparents, my aunts and uncles. And that was a huge factor. So it was like everything that bad that happened, there was always good at the same time. So I was always trying to balance. But still, even growing up, looking back, it's like, that's, kids shouldn't have to worry about balancing that stuff. Like, you need to be a kid. You need that foundation. So I did what most people did, was I got pregnant and got married, and I thought, that'll fix it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, thank God that I had so much love to give for my son. I didn't want him to have the childhood that I had. And from the way that I lived it, it was a horrific nightmare. And I knew that I craved stability, and I wanted a present parent. I wanted someone there for me. And that's what I did. So at some level, I knew something was wrong. But when you go to therapists and you go to different psychologists, as I did, to find out just why am I feeling this way, they all miss the signs, because it's not in the DSM. They just figured it's just you have bad parents. Well, they didn't have the other part of it, which, no, I was alienated. And when you're alienated, you're living your life off a false belief system. Mm-hmm. So that's why it took so long too. There was no awareness. It just kind of, they tell you you're a child of divorce, but they don't tell you that means that, you know, you may have attachment issues if you don't have a solid foundation to both your parents. Well, gosh, I would have liked to know that at 15. Maybe I would have been more inquisitive and wanting to know why. So yeah, 40 years.
Wow. You said it wasn't in the DSM. Why isn't it in there? Is it in there now, or is it still
It's not in there. It's under maybe, like, it's like psychological child abuse, basically. But it's not in there because there's all this legislation and fights. So you have mothers' rights movement and father's rights movement, and everybody's fighting over words and law. In the meantime, kids are being raised in this, you know, in this gutter, and we're waiting for the adults to say, hey, let's put the kids first. Stop. Like, stop fighting over a word. Who cares who wants to be the name of the person who came up with the term? Who cares? This is about family. It's not about it's like everyone that's in it, it's all about a win for them. It's not, I don't see anyone really putting the kids really first, and that is really frightening.
That does sound frightening. Now, did your dad ever recognize the fact that you're the alienation, or no?
He did in the beginning. No, I had a trigger, and I explained this in my book, but I had a trigger, and I remembered the script all of a sudden. I was maybe in my 30s, 38 maybe, and I remember calling my dad, and I was freaking out, and I felt like, Dad, it was like, please go upstairs and tell me, you got to get the proof. He's like, what are you talking about? Just bring it to me. And, you know, I'm crying hysterical. And he drove 2.5 hours with the script that by now is like 27 years old. The typing, it's all typewritten. It has, you know, her penmanship all over it. And I remember reading it and taking it to a Christian counselor at the time. And he said, throw it away. This is pure evil. Mm. And luckily I gave it to my husband at the time, and he just put it away. And at that time, because I was in mom mode, I didn't want to dissect my past. I didn't want to. Now I know why. I didn't want to. So I just pushed it down. And then when I found it again, actually my husband found it, and he brought it to me. And by this time my son is 25 in college, and I read it, and I thought, holy crap, I was mind-effed. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. And I took it to my regular counselor, and she was like, I don't know if I can help you. I'm like, what do you mean? What the hell happened to me? And luckily nothing happened to me. I was brainwashed and mind-effed, and it should have never happened. And it continues to happen. Every 4 seconds, a child loses a parent to false accusations. And any parent that is listening, like, the most important relationship your kids need is with our parents. That's where we feel safe and whole. And when that is ripped from us, that is parental deprivation. And psychological mind F and a minefield as well. Because you grow up feeling, not loved. You don't feel like you were, you're not ready for the world. Your self-esteem, or in my case, I was a rebel. So I thought, if you would have told me at 15, Lisa, you're suffering from low self-esteem, I would have probably told you off and said, nah. I would have thought my anger, because I was so angry internally, I would have thought, but anger made me feel like I had self-esteem, and I was so off. But how's a kid going to know that at like 15? And anybody who even has an alienated teen, it's like, that is the hardest time to raise a child, because it's like quadruple of what a normal teen goes through, because everything is just exasperated.
For sure. Now, how were you able to repair the relationship with your mom after what your stepmom did?
Luckily, my husband at the time uploaded the script that we found, and I was on the phone with my mom, because it's very common to be alienated and estranged, especially if you don't know you're alienated. Mm-hmm. And we were about to go at it again, and she goes, how many triggers do you have? And then I'm like, read this. And then an hour later, it was like, I got my mom back from when she was like, from the last time, like I was 7, like she heard me. And I think that's one of the biggest things for parents, is they get so boggled down by all the psychological stuff that's written about parental alienation. Don't read it. walk away, because that's what was also coming in between me and my mom, is she kept looking at me through an intellectual way. And it was, no, it was my emotions were hurt. I needed to feel seen, heard. And I started to do the internal work. It took about 5 to 7 years to really, unravel all the different aspects that had affected me. And today, where we're at today, it's really heartwarming, and it's kind of sad for some people, I would imagine, but this is what it's like today. If I'm visiting with her and say I'm just on my phone or outside, and she's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm reparenting myself." She goes, "Oh, good. Good job." you can't, like, once your child's adult, you can't really reparent your child. Mm-hmm. That's only a child. So it's a bunch of firsts. It's bizarre. And I see, like, the ripoff, and that's when it really, like, and I'm sure she feels the ripoff too. And, like, she's like, "I can't believe you wrote a book." I'm like, "I know, you can never get me to do homework." So we see the ripoff, and it's, you know, but all we have is now, and we had to let go of what we lost. Cause a lot of times it's so easy to, like, you know, what happens is parents get so worried because we worry, and then you start parenting out of fear. And what came in between us from really bonding was everything that the experts were writing about alienated children, that we don't have guilt, we don't have feelings, we're just a parrot. And no, I had internal feelings. Otherwise I would have raised my son exactly the way that I would have alienated him. And that's not the mm-hmm. case. So a lot of it is a lot of these psychologists that are dealing with this. Sometimes, you know, mistakes happen. Like, parents usually don't wake up and, like, want to have kids so that they can mess them up.
For sure.
Yeah, these are, I had to learn to, I think it helped that I was a mom. I think the older we get, it just takes a long time to grow up. But when you see your own parents, going back to my dad, once I found the script and I realized, oh gosh, this isn't good, I didn't talk to my dad for 3 years. Hmm. And it wasn't until a podcast that I was on and he listened to it, and he came, and, you know, he still calls me. He came to visit. You know, he's still married to my stepmom, but as awkward as that is, he's still my dad, and he's not doing it. He's never denied me. And I think that's what would piss her off. Mm. In time, he didn't know how to protect me, because he also he's got two other little kids with her. So of course, then, you know, you become the scapegoat. And it was like, it's never supposed to be a scapegoat, lady. You messed with the wrong stepchild, because this is not okay. And, and wrap it, you can see just people that get married and then they get divorced and then they get remarried. They don't work on themselves. So then they bring that same stuff. And then, you know, you just, it's a mess. And the kids are growing up. They're trying to normalize divorce. I normalize divorce. And look, divorce is okay, as long as parents know, okay, we're going to get divorced, but our attachment to the kids, their foundation, will not be severed. And any step parent that doesn't like that, every parent should be aware. Like, my book is a call to action. It really, like, hey, this is what's mm-hmm. really going on. And nobody wants to believe the kids. And so this is when, like, well, like, they don't even want to say that parental alienation is real. And I'm like, it's like, hey, I'm not a parent. I mean, I'm a parent, but I'm a kid who grew up to prove it. Here it is. Mm-hmm. And what are we going to do about it now? And it's like, it's a little messy out there, but hopefully, you know, parents will start to understand that, you know, we all make mistakes. And I think my mom's TikTok letter on my TikTok, she had an apology letter. And parents are like, why would an alienated parent have to apologize? And it's like, because she wanted to apologize, but it's over 76,000 and kids love it. Even parents are like, oh my God, I'm borrowing the letter, because like, it's hard for parents too, because they're like, I have this adult child. How do I relate? Cause then they get nervous and they get stuck in their own trauma and kids too. I think when they understand, you know, especially like the young adults, your parents are trying their hardest. My mom, like my dad was super emotional. My mom was more the calmer one. I need the calm in my life. It's so funny, but my mom was really calm, but I took her calmness as an act of not caring about me. And that and I took my dad's emotional, like, oh, he cared so much. And so it was like most parents that get divorced, they usually want the same goals, but they have different methods. So that's what happens.
Wow. We need to take a brief break, but when we come back, you're going to read part of your book, Alienated, correct?
Yes.
People welcomed me and they knew the pain of the journey that we'd been on because they'd been there too.
Other Parents Like Me is an online community, peer-led, for parents with kids struggling with mental health and or substances.
It's a space that's safe, feels like I can actually share what's going on.
We offer 15 daily support groups per week and live speaker talks on Thursdays, as well as a monthly expert panel.
We also have a resource hub that has a toolkit. This includes over 1,000 articles, podcasts. There's a glossary with the most recent and relevant terms. And we have a directory that's been vetted.
The overwhelming feeling when we're sitting in a meeting and I'm telling my story and I see others shaking their head, tears falling. You know, they understand this roller coaster and they're along for the ride.
And we are back chatting with Lisa. And I don't know. Are you here? Because you were frozen a little bit. Are you here? Yeah. You ready to read?
Yeah.
Ready? All right. Go for it.
Okay. So this is page 75. We unconsciously adopt our parents' patterns out of our need for love. Parent is perfect. How children react to such negative patterns out of survival is by hating them or rebelling against them. But some begin to consciously dislike traits, which was my case. So we consciously suppress and dislike our feelings about our parents. To not be like our parents, we learn to compulsively act out. One of the most crucial elements to healing is understanding what hurt us and how it affected our lives. Some of us don't know we're. In my case, I had the script and the eagerness to rid my mind and body as much as I could of my stepmom's stain. I had four parents I rebelled against. I was always torn in more than one direction. When we are pulled in two opposing directions, we get two patterns instead of one. It's a never-ending seesaw that causes more anxiety and internal conflict. One of the hardest parts of growing up alienated is that your parents don't seem to hear you or won't take accountability for you. I had no freedom to be myself. I had no one to guide me, to tell me I was safe. Imagine four parents. There are millions of us who as children have suffered because of this preventable neglect. I rebelled by always fighting a narrative while rejecting and suppressing what I couldn't explain.
And so, Lisa, I've got to ask you, what led you to write this book? Because in this book, you have several different, like, the story, and then you say the real truth, or the alienated story and the real truth. And some of them, I was like, wait a second, did I hear that right? Because I was listening to it on Kindle, and I had to go back and listen to it several times because it was so outrageous, some of the things that your stepmom was saying. You know, what made you decide to write this book?
Because what she did to me is still happening to kids now, and they don't have the proof. And there are millions of kids and people that if able to, and you right, to much about her. It was to help anyone else. It was so bad that they couldn't be heard, because I know what that's like. I felt that. I've never And I was literally told that no one would believe you. And I wrote the book because it wasn't something I ever thought I would do. It was just something I felt like I had to do it. It was that or back in time and have her arrested. Because I would have. The little kid that I was, hey, you know, nobody should ever be. If I could go back to save millions of triggers and all the stuff that's, you know, kind of, because I could still raise my son, you know, not change any of the other things that happened, but it was to help us to shed light what I was always trying to figure out.
So writing this book, what did your parents think? Have your parents read the book?
They were really supportive, especially my mom. And my dad, I think that, you know, you name it, alienated one parent, there's this, I always feel like I have to defend them, but hold on, they're proud of me, but I think it was very sad for them. And to think that, you know, because I share so much, and but my mom owning her part, owning the fact, I mean, baby boomers, you know, she didn't know. And it, to get their validation like that, it warms my heart. And it's sad, but I know that I'm their daughter and I don't have anything to be ashamed of. And I'm proud to be their daughter. And I wish I can go back in time, but we can't. All we have is now. And I hope that what my parents were able to do and own their parts and love me through it and support me helps other parents see that, hey, your kids aren't what these psychologists are saying. I mean, yeah, we have trauma and we can work through that trauma, but I think my parents are kind of my heroes now, because they even though it took 40 years, if they knew, they wouldn't have done, they would have co-parented. And, you know, it played out the way it was supposed to play out. But I know that the one thing that they both instilled in me from an early age is the first 7 years of my life were crucial, was faith, family, love.
And that's now what you stopped. Now, you said your dad is still married to your stepmom. Has she read the book, or you don't have no contact with her whatsoever?
No contact. I don't think she has read the book. I think she probably just stays in her own little cocoon. I haven't talked to her since the last time I talked to her was at my sister's wedding. And this was before I found the script, and I remember saying something like, hey, I don't know what your problem is, but if God wants me out, he's the one that's going to take me out. Like, she was still, even into my late 40s, still pulling the same stuff. They don't change. And I think that every step parent, especially that struggles with jealousy, or every parent that struggles with jealousy, or, you know, they should learn from this, that had she would have gotten help instead. You know, she's got her master's. She's like super educated. And I'm like, no, you're not. That doesn't mean anything when you hurt a child. So I hope I never have to like visually see her again. Mm. And, you know, if she wanted to apologize too, I don't know. That was a lot. That's a lot. The parent in me. Mm-hmm. And you know, I can't share this because it's important, but I recently was sick in the hospital. I got sepsis. Both my parents came, and I hadn't seen both my parents in the same room since after this book. And I was kind of freaked out a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I kind of, I was a little, I had a fever, not going to lie. And I was a little defensive when my dad got there. And I was a little bit like, Dad, I don't know how can you be married to her? Like, there's no way. I was like, you know, just, I was in my trauma brain. And my mom easily could have said, see how your dad is never going to change. She didn't. She held her ground. She says, come on, let's go for a walk. She was just kind. They both were hanging out and I'm in the hospital, like hooked up, like what the going on? Like, it was just a beautiful moment of like, oh my God, you could just clearly see that my stepmom's narrative was still kind of lingering over, and both my parents stayed calm. And my dad just kept saying, this isn't the time. This isn't. And of course it's like, when is the time? And I looked at him and I just like kind of let it go. It's like, you know what? He's here. That's what matters the most, is he's here. Mm-hmm. You know, it is what it is. And it's, I hate that saying. I couldn't be married to someone that ever hurt my child, but I also understand he's almost 80.
Yeah.
Can you get it? You know, what are you going to do? So it's like, you know, it is what that, it's just a, that's my dad.
Yeah. So you said she actually had written scripts down of how she was going to like do a mind F on you.
Oh yeah. She has, it's in a binder like this. And yeah, it's like 58 pages and yeah, it was 50 pages and it's, you know, she just totally vilifies me, like, and my mom. This is a malignant narcissist. This is like, if you're into crime or like how can even, and thinks this way. And I think the sickest parts were when she tries to say that this is where it gets weird, because writes about her own children being burned or being, you know, molested. And for a mother to write about her own children that way, that's a mentally ill person.
Yep. So you wrote this book, Alienated When Parents Want Parents, which led you to start this project called the Stephood Project. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So the Stephood Project, I was always trying to figure out how I can help kids from divorce. And before I even, because I talk about having, I had Stockholm really bad until I didn't, until I realized what it was. My stepmom was going to be on that board. That's how, like, I was always trying to figure out what happened, but I started the step to bring awareness of this, of parents that are going through divorce, kids who may have alienated, who suffered parental trauma, especially at the hands of their step parents. Because what happens is when you are, when you suffer trauma or you go through childhood neglect or abuse and a parent doesn't protect you, it's a double hit. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the biggest reasons why I started the project.
And what's response has been for the project?
Really good. I mean, people get on there and they're like, wow, this is so much needed. Nobody else is doing this. And it wasn't that nobody else is doing this. I think it just took a long time to figure it out. So it's just an awareness project to bring hope and light and a new direction for parents.
So what are some of the things that parents can look out for to see if the step parent is alienating their child so that they can kind of focus and make sure that what happened to you doesn't happen to another child?
So I recommend, what I did was, because I was remarried and my son was raised with two step parents, stepmom and stepdad, parents do the parenting. And, you know, the step parents eventually, you know, it takes a long time to raise the kids, but as long as the parents do the parenting and the kids are I feel like I'm out of your frame here. There I go. As long as the parents do the parenting and they're protecting their child, they're the ones that are there with their kids, that they're building that foundation. It's okay to have other people love your children. That's great. But you want to make sure that your attachment, that secure attachment, that your child feels safe, seen, loved, that they have a foundation, that they have a room at both parents. And, you know, I mean, people probably won't like this, but I recommend background checks for everyone. I mean, as we see it all over the news, look what's happening all over the news. Every 6 days, a child is killed by a parent or step parent or caregiver. Every 6 days in the United States, and every 4 seconds, a child loses a safe attachment to a parent. So not only are kids are losing their parents, parents are also losing their rights. So it's even getting hard to even parent. And that should scare everyone, because what is more important than being a parent and our kids?
That is so true. Now, one of the things that stuck with me in the book, it says one of our first patterns we learn is as humans is to deny. We learn to deny our authentic selves, and there had been an aspect of my life that had been affected by my parents' divorce and my stepmother's script of lies. You learn to deny. So let's talk about that, the denial.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I would deny my own feelings, right? If I was a teenager and somebody would have said, "Do you hate your mom?" And I would have said, "Hell yeah, I hate my mom." But inside, I didn't hate her. I loved her. But so you learn to deny your own feelings, because what happens is, in my case, I would get flooded with anxiety, which I didn't know it was. And when we're flooded with that adrenaline anxiety, the other side of the brain takes over and we're like fighting. So you're either fighting or you're fleeing. And so I would deny that. I would deny, it was always really hard for me to, I would shrink myself. I would shrink myself, especially around my stepmom. If anything good happened to me and if she was around, I would just shrink myself. I would become like a chameleon just so that I wouldn't create any problems. And as I was doing that, I would wonder, like, why am I doing this? Because it didn't just stop as a kid. Even as I became an adult and a mother myself, you put me in a room with my stepmom, my dad, my siblings, and even my husband and my son. They would look at me, and sometimes I'm like, did I drink? What is going on? But it's patterns, it's conditioning. That's the conditioning part, because our bodies remember the same anxiety I had as a little kid, I had it as an adult. It was just, I was just like always wondering, like, why am I doing this? So real like minefield in there. You'll feel like, am I crazy? And it wasn't that at all. It was that she was manipulating everything the whole time.
Mm. Wow. Now I'm going to ask, when you realized that the manipulation happened, was it something that gradually you were like, oh, or was it something like all of a sudden it was like snapped in your brain?
I always knew she didn't like me. I always knew that she was jealous of me. I didn't know how bad it affected me, because the rebel in me didn't want to give that, didn't want to give her that, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't until I was 44 and I remember my husband, you know, me reading the script at 44, and it was, that's when it really hit, because then I'd already raised a kid. Mm-hmm. I had already been married. So, you know, I already had that like foundation that I didn't have as a kid. And so then that's when it was like a direct hit. And when you think back, and I can think back all the way from when I was a little kid, and just even like,
And I think we lost her again. So I'm going to throw up a commercial until she comes back.
There.
The threats women face today are unparalleled and even more dangerous than ever before. 1 in 3 women globally has been the victim of an assault. Women are terrified and they are looking for answers.
In the book, Street Smart Safety for Women, we draw on our experiences, both personal and professional, to provide those answers. It's by women, for women. Street Smart Safety for Women is available wherever books are sold.
Hi.
And we are back with Lisa again.
we're recording. I don't know what happened. I don't know what computer thing. Where were we at?
You were talking about your stepmother, and I can't even remember what exactly what. It was like all of a sudden you're in the middle of a sentence and you froze, and I'm like, oh my goodness, not again.
I can't remember, but yeah. Yeah, my stepmom was crazy. Oh my God. Yeah, and it's not much different than what's online. I hear stories, and it's the only difference is that I have the written version and I was able to prove it, because that's the thing is, like, people, they will deny, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. And that's so frustrating. And so, yeah, she did. And her handwriting is all over it too. And that was one of the things someone asked, like, can she sue you? And I said, no, why? Because it's part of my medical record. That's why. It's time to shift gears, parents.
So do you think that going back, she would have done it differently if she knew that you were actually going to write a book and show some of that script in that book? Because like you just said, a lot of parents, you can't prove because it's like verbal and not written. But the fact that she actually took the time to write it down, that's where she screwed up, because now you have the proof. You have it. You're like, hey, look, this is actually what happened to me. And she was stupid. I'm sorry, but she was stupid enough to write it down. Nobody can see where it's in her handwriting.
Not only that, did she write it down, but she kept it in her nightstand for over 27 years. Because when I finally remembered, my dad went and he brought it to me. That's how it's like. My dad didn't know. He's got really strong denial patterns probably. But I mean, yeah. I think a part of me can just hear her already like trying to walk her way out of it. And you can't. And it's like, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. And I hope anybody that's listening that even thinks about doing this to a child, her picture or her script should be under step monster. This is what a step monster literally does. And dads especially need to understand this, and moms too. It's like they seem to get remarried a lot faster. And when you're a parent, you have an obligation to your kids, even though they're little, but there's a reason for that. And what's she going to do? She would have already, if she had any grace, any dignity, she would have already tried to do something, and she didn't.
Maybe it's because she's afraid that more things are going to come out and she's going to go and get dragged down more.
Yeah. And then there's like, well, could she have suffered trauma? And I said, yeah, I'm sure she did. But she wrote about her own kids and it's free will. I suffered trauma. I didn't hurt a child. I couldn't, I wasn't a perfect parent, but I sure as heck would. I mean, no, you love your kids unconditionally. It's not good.
Mm-hmm. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall when the conversation happened between your dad and your stepmom, just to see what was actually said and how she was denying anything when it was right there in black and white.
Yeah, I mean, my dad was always like, that's my daughter. I mean, he was always, she didn't care. Like, she ruled the nest, and this is where dads have to like nip it in the bud right away. If you don't, you are letting that woman know, okay, I can mistreat you like this. And growing up, watching your dad get emasculated by a woman, mm-hmm. only will we protect my dad. And that wasn't my job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my dad now, like, he gets it, but, you know, he's like almost 80. He came from another country. His dad died when he was, you know, he had his own little traumas to work out, but in the end, his heart is good. And she took advantage of that. And you know, it would be great if the book made it to number one, then she's walking in the airport and she can't not, you know, I think she just thinks that, oh, well, I won't. It's just a book. Everyone writes a book. Nobody, no big deal. And I'm like, how do I get a billboard with the book on it? Like, no matter what. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it's just like, I have to let go of that and hope that the book helps other step parents and families. Yeah. But yeah, I joke around sometimes all the time, but it's just like, I'm just glad that I don't ever have to see her or put myself in the position anymore of feeling so trapped in my own body and then not acting right. And then everybody looking at me like, what is wrong with Lisa, including myself? And the whole time it was like, Jesus Christ, that was Stockholm. And the thing was, as soon as I had the awareness of it, I didn't have Stockholm anymore. Like, I don't ever want to see her again because I don't know how I would react, honestly.
Well, Lisa, our time is almost up. Before we get into where people can find you as well as where they can find the book, is there one last little nugget that either we shared and you want to make sure that it came across, or something that we didn't touch on that you want to maybe just leave us with?
Yeah, for any parents out there that are struggling with your kids that are adults or whatever age, it's never too late to do what's right for your family. And that resistance that you feel, you got to push through it. And there's beauty on the other side.
I love that. There's beauty on the other side. With that, tell people where they can find you at.
You can find me at thesteppoodproject.org, as well as Lisa Goodpastor or Lisa.Goodpastor Instagram. And I'm on TikTok for now.
For now, yeah.
And Facebook, Lisa Goodpastor. Yep.
And your book again?
And my book is called Alienated, When Parents Won't Parent, and it's available on Amazon and everywhere books were sold.
On Amazon, if you buy the Kindle version, I think right now, because I went and checked when I grabbed the link, it's like $2.99 right now for Kindle. Oh, so okay. It's a really, like, it's a good read. I mean, it's not one that, obviously you have to stop, especially if you have the Kindle to listen. You have to stop and go, wait a second, did I hear that right? And you back up a little bit, and then you listen and you absorb, and you're like, okay, wait a second, and do that. But you're still able to absorb the information. It's a very good read, and you wrote it very well, and you told your story very well. You told it in a way that it came across as authentic, but not as salacious as a lot of people who write their stories try to make their other stories salacious. So thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. So good to hear. Yeah.
So guys, I will put in the show notes everywhere where you can find Lisa, as well as where you can find her book. And if you are someone who is struggling with this, please reach out for help. Contact Lisa if you want. I'm sure she would help you a lot. And Lisa, thank you so much for coming on and for writing this book, for sharing your story to let others know that they're not alone, because I think a lot of stepkids out there feel like they're alone when they're with their parents or like get remarried, and they feel like they're not part of that family. They're really like in between families. They're not really part of the mom's family anymore, not part of the dad's, and they're kind of pushed in between.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. Thank you for having me, Melissa. I appreciate it. And thanks for reading my book.
All right. So, guys, until next time, be blessed, and most importantly, keep chatting. Bye.
Chats from the Blog Cabin.
Hit subscribe
and don't miss the next episode.